name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Lisa Snart, and I like gold!
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes of our favorite series. So, my friend Lisa, after having waffles and a cigar, I don't know.
Pancakes and a smoke.
Pancakes and a smoke. Jay will tell us. I'm just going to call you Jay instead of Lisa today, so it doesn't get confusing.
That's cool.
But you can still have your pancakes. So go ahead.
Okay. Good.
You're going to tell us about the episode we're going to cover. So you go ahead.
Okay, campers, rise and shine, and don't forget your booties because it's cold out there today.
It's cold out there every day. What is this, Miami Beach?
Especially cold, okay? But the big question on everybody's lips?
On their chap lips.
Chap lips, right. Do you think Phil is going to come out and see his shadow?
Punxsutawney Phil!
That's right, woodchuck chuckers. It's Groundhog Day. All right, it's not really Groundhog Day. It's really an episode called Rogue Time, but it felt like Groundhog Day, at least to me at the beginning. This is episode 16 of season 1. It originally aired on March 24th, 2015. And the story was by Grainy Godfrey with the teleplay, or the script, I guess, for all you non-TV people, by Brooke Elkmeyer and Kai-Yu Wu. And it was directed by John Baring. All right? So, have you ever wanted a do-over?
Barry's getting one.
Because of his flashback to one day earlier, he can now prevent Captain Singh from getting hurt, keep Sisko from dying. Okay, stop. No, stop. Really, this is a problem. Oh. Mark Martin from kidnapping Joe and threatening the city, and hopefully fix a very awkward bowling date. Well, time is not so forgiving, unfortunately. Instead of making everything all right, other perils start popping up instead, including the return of Captain Cold and Heatwave. And this time, they brought along the captain's sister, Lisa, to join in on the fun. They've captured Sisko and his brother and are using their newly built weaponry to torment and steal from the Santini family, who look nothing like Robert Duvall, by the way. Worse yet, they've manipulated Sisko to reveal the Flash's identity. Can Barry do anything to stop the clever rogue and stop wreaking havoc on the time continuum? Only time will tell.
It's havoc-wreaking madness. They may not look like Robert Duvall, but they did kind of talk like Robert Duvall, I thought.
A little bit. They were more typical gangster. I mean, even Robert Duvall in The Godfather was, you know, he was pretty, you know, not like typical gangster kind of
style. No, you're right. He actually just sounded like Robert Duvall.
Yeah. But, no, the Robert Duvall I'm referencing, of course, the great Santini. Excellent film, by the way, from the late 70s, after he was in The Godfathers. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thought last week's, you know, there was so much to talk about, but then we got to sort of re-talk about last week in this week's form. I don't know. This is it was a good episode, and not nearly as similar to last week as I thought, but there's a lot of parallels that we'll discuss here. But let's get into a little bit of news first.
Okay.
So you were first to share this with me this week, which I thought was really cool. So online, Jesse L. Martin, Carlos Valdez, and Rick Kosnitz are doing a little singing.
They are
thanking Joss Whedon, who donated some money to Martin's Kickstarter that he's got going. I don't know if you know about Martin's Kickstarter, but he's making a musical short film called The Letter Carrier. I don't really know much about this. Do you know anything else about this?
No, just really kind of what I read in the article, which we had posted on our Facebook page, so you can check it out there.
I'll have to read about the Kickstarter campaign because I don't know about the letter carrier too much. I want to find out more. You know what it probably is? It's probably just a segment for Sesame Street. And Jesse Martin, he's just probably just singing about the letter J or something like that. I don't know, maybe. Anyway, what the news was is to say thank you to Joss Whedon for donating money to this. They sang a song from the theme to Serenity, the TV show Serenity,
which is a great theme song to begin with.
Yes, it is. Wait a minute, was the TV show Serenity or the movie Serenity? Wasn't the TV show Firefly?
The TV show was Firefly. I'm
Firefly,
sorry.
Firefly, right. No, yes. But
the
song's called
Serenity, I think.
The movie had the same theme song, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it did.
I don't know. It's been a couple of years since I watched it. It's a great, great show and movie, though.
But they harmonized beautifully.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I didn't realize they were singers. Now, I knew Grant Gustin was a singer.
Yeah.
But I didn't know these guys could sing.
Well, they can harmonize. I don't know if that means they can sing, but...
Hey, that's more than me, which you probably know if you've listened to our shows. But anyway, I thought that was a cool way to say thank you to Joss Whedon. And did they say how much money he donated? Because it must have been a pretty hefty size.
They did not.
I don't think they sang to everybody that donated, so... Thank you to Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
So if you want to check that out, there's a link to it on our Facebook page, and you can kind of listen to these guys sing. So good job for them. All right. Well, the other one we want to update you and remind you that both Jay and I will very soon be in Anaheim, California, attending Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, which is coming up the weekend of April 16th. So if you know you're a fan of this podcast, for sure, or any of our other podcasts, and you are also a fan of Star Wars, you might be at Star Wars Celebration, and it should be a heck of a great time celebrating Star Wars there. But if you want to catch up with Jay and I, we're going to have something for you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what we are going to have?
It's a pin.
Oh, a pin. No, not a writing pin, though, right?
Not a pen, but a pin. Maybe you know it as a badge. Or as a button, we had some buttons printed up with our cool Scarlet Velocity logo and imagery on it that you will see every week on your podcast application or iPhone, iPod screen, whatever it is you listen to us on. So if you can find us, and we'll give you some clues on where might be the best places to find us or how to recognize us. We'll put those on our Twitter and our Facebook accounts and give you a little update later. But if you can find us, we'll and let us know. Come over and say hi and let us know that you're a fan of Scarlet Velocity. We will have a pin for you.
Yeah, these pins are great for putting on your lanyards. You know, you got to wear those badges when you're at conventions and things like that. So they fit really well on the lanyards and, you know, they get people. They start conversations with people. It's a great way to meet people at conventions and stuff. So I've used those a lot. Also, they look good on your coat lapel at business meetings. You know, let's say you're a CEO of a major company that wants to share Scarlet Velocity with everybody. Anyway.
Well, these are my lanyard usually fills up by the first day with all these. We did have a friend of ours who was really excited to find out that you, Josh, were actually going to be at the Celebration because he hasn't yet to meet you, and which is kind of cool because I've podcasted with him before. Our friend Lou, he's actually filled in for you a couple times on our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files podcast when you unfortunately were out on assignment. But I did enjoy his post because his text to speech did not work properly. So he is very excited about our Starlet the Loss of the podcast. So I know I just printed up a bunch of pins, but we may be changing the name of our show. I'm just going to say that right now.
Well, I was really excited to hear that we've got a new topic to discuss about Starlet and, you know. Yeah. Well, you know, hey, you can't always trust the text-to-speech, but it's okay because it makes other people laugh when it fails you.
Oh, it's that was an epic fail of the text-to-speech right there. But
my children looked at me when I laughed out loud at that, so thank you. And by the way, I'm excited to meet you too, because I have not yet met you face to face. So
yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and talk about Rogue Time. That's different, isn't it? Rogue Time. All right, so this episode, like I said, I thought it was going to be a little bit more like Groundhog Day, in that I thought they were going to repeat a lot of the same things over and over. One thing, no, they did not. One thing I did notice, though, the extra actress that was on the street yelling for a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
That had to have been one of the most used extra clip from any TV show ever. You know, she got to do one line, and they just kept showing. They showed it in the preview. They showed it twice last week. They showed it twice this week, and so they got a lot of use out of that one little line that she played. I hope she gets residuals
for that.
You think so? Yeah, they paid her four times whatever extras. And by the way, I did not like her any more than I did. I liked her a lot less after seeing her whine about her taxi and being late the fourth time. Come on, you know you should have left earlier. But anyway, all right. So this episode, I like what you got here. Time is like a river in the Flash.
Time is like a river. So there, I can't remember what movie it is that uses the river analogy, or maybe it was a TV show or something like that. Hopefully I'll find it as I'm doing my time travel blog. But they use the analogy of time being like a river, and that you can put rocks in the way to change the course of the river. But and the river may be moved off course a little bit or a lot, but at some point, it will always find its way back to its original bed, and you know, and kind of, you know, like straighten itself out. So that's what I really see going on here in this episode, because there were a number of really tragic things that happened last week, and those same things pretty much happened again this week, just to different people, and in some cases with varying levels of.
Severity,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Wells himself even told Barry something very similar.
Right.
You know, because he said, I can't remember the words he used, but, you know, time will find a way, is what he said, to kind of make up for that. What was the name of the movie? This wasn't a time travel movie, but, you know, the movie where those good-looking young teenagers or 20-somethings escape death, and so death found different ways to kill
final,
them.
Final
Destination?
Final Destination,
like that?
Yep. 1, 2, yeah. 3, 7, and 12, I believe.
1, no, 2, 3, 7, and 12.
How can they have a Final Destination 2? Really? I mean, isn't the fact that it's called Final Destination, isn't that enough? But
it should have been
not,
called Penultimate Destination. But I know that wasn't time related, but it kind of reminded me of that, where time is going to fix itself by making up for whatever it is you took from it, you know. So I like the list we've got going here of things that happen in a different way. So let's kind of run down those. I'll take the first one here, and okay. We'll just take turns. Okay, so The big one, and the one that was very emotional for me last week, right, is Reverse Flash killing someone. Last week he killed Cisco, and I wept for 7 days. and then this week he killed Mason, and I wept the water that I spilt on my couch. So,
that's not a huge loss there. Mason was not as
to die, but
yeah, Mason was not as crucial as Jay thought he was. Or is he really dead?
I got nothing, dead. Man. I was trying to give you a little bit of something on that, but I don't know that he was crucial, but he was a pretty important character, I think. I think he sowed the seeds of doubt in a couple people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, he didn't get to take the credit for that doubt, but hey, so be it.
Well, there's some other things I want to bring up about him, but I think we'll do that a little bit later in the episode as we travel around the roundabout here. Well, somebody got kissed in last week's episode. Barry got to have a really emotional kiss with Iris, and this week it turned out to be Sisko making out with Snart's sister.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go so far to say making out, but at least he got a little bit.
Okay, so let me just put it this way: when Sisko, if it hadn't been the fact that she was using him to, you know, basically capture him and his brother, how would Sisko have retold that story the next day to Barry? He would totally have said
we were making out.
We were making out.
Yes, completely agreed.
And then
yes,
he'd give her a name like, I'm going to call her the Pucker Puss or something like that. So
I wonder. Yeah, Sisko might have names for a lot of different things besides just bad guys. So, you know, also, unfortunately, Sisko didn't get to enjoy the kiss very much longer than Barry got to enjoy the kiss.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, oh, poor guys. Both kisses were doomed to disaster. Oh, what a drag. Well, okay, so there's more here. So now someone discovers Flash's identity. Last week, Iris did. Again, she didn't get to keep that information for very long. But this week, Snart... Captain Cold knows who the Flash is, man.
But in the comic books, doesn't pretty much... Don't a lot of people know who the Flash is?
You know, I think it kind of depends which comic book. I think Wally West was not even a secret identity. I think pretty much everybody knew who Wally was, if I remember correctly. But I don't know about these days. Barry, I think it's pretty much a secret identity now.
Okay, yeah. In the New 52, I think it is more of a secret identity. But kind of in the classic... Oh, no. Yeah.
I don't even know. There was a lot of times when people didn't know who he was. But
yeah.
But yeah, I think sometimes. But did Captain Cold, was he one of the people that... I don't remember Captain Cold necessarily being somebody that knew Barry.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I always just remember him, you know, just calling him Flash, you know, and going on about stuff that way.
I
don't recall any other aspect of that. So,
all right. Well, again, we will talk more about Snart.
Yeah. And the levels of severity of these different things happening, like, you know, because in some of these instances, last week was more severe than this week, or... Was this week more severe than last week?
This one I could say could go either way. It's just the circumstance behind it. I mean, Iris knowing who he is could have changed a lot of things. Really had the potential to either be really good or really disastrous. And I think Snart as well. That's going to be an interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah. And then one final one that we saw was that both weeks. The villain of the week captures one of Barry's friends. Last week it was Joe who got captured and beaten up by the Weather Wizard. And this week it was Sisko and Dante who were both captured by Cold and Heatwave and Lisa. And Sisko didn't come up with a name for her, did he?
No. So, no, they have not said her name, but you know she's going to be back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. And at that point, Sisko will probably be really pissed at her.
He did come up, well, I guess you could... He kind of came up with a name this week, although he did it last week exactly the same way. But he came up with the name Weather Wizard this week.
Right.
So I think they generally try to stick to one name a week, although he did come up with that last week. Oh, see, that's that time-iffy area, but that's okay.
So... Well, anyways, that was there's parallels I saw between the two.
Yeah, there's your river filling in the cracks there.
Yeah.
And some of those have deeper implications. So but first of all, let's talk a little bit about what caused Barry to pop back into the past in the first place.
Okay.
Because later on in the episode, he does try to replicate it, although I don't know exactly what the purpose of trying to replicate it was. Did you catch that? I mean, if it had worked, if he had run that fast again and he had popped, well, then what? Then what? And especially Wells was there too. He didn't want him to be messing with the time. I think he even specifically said wreaking havoc on the time continuum.
Yeah, because, you know, and as he takes his glasses off, you could imagine traveling back decades or centuries. Imagine the havoc you could wreck. It's like, dude, you are just evil. Evil.
So what was it then? If it wasn't just his speed, what caused him to pop back into the past?
This is a good question. It could have been his glycerin levels or his hyperbolic metabolism or, you know, all of the above things, just like, you know, Caitlin said, right? Because I'm smart, too.
What exactly about glycerin causes?
I have no idea what I'm saying.
It's really slippery, so you slip back into the past. Is that how that works?
Is that what? I have no idea what I'm saying. I just heard these words before once. So,
well, it's just
no. I think it does have to do with kind of his emotional state. He was on a really though. From a logical, I'm going to put that in big air quotes because, you know, I don't know if any of this stuff makes real sense, but he was on this kind of euphoric high, having kissed Iris and, you know, being excited that, you know, they were going to be an item again. And then he has to do this fast running, the fastest running he's ever done, which he said he was doing this episode as well, but he wasn't really replicating the process. Now,
right.
As a friend of mine pointed out, he's like, well, he was running just on the treadmill, right? But in yesterday, or sorry, in earlier,
day,
later,
the day before tomorrow.
Yeah, later today, yesterday, he was running one way and then he makes quick turnarounds. Like he kept reversing on himself. And my friend was saying, you know, well, isn't it like Superman? He's got to rock the planet, you know, to start it rotating backwards. And I'm like, that's not really the way the Flash's powers work, at least in the comics. You know, it's more he's in the speed force and is able to move in and out of that. But, I don't know.
I think I can see a total difference there. You know, I mean, punching a hole, and I think, did I see this online or did Wells actually say something about a wormhole?
He did mention something about the wormhole that you opened. So yeah. he might be tipping his hand a little bit by revealing words that he may not, you know, that no one really understands. But that's what we saw.
I think sometimes you can just say big words and people think you know what you're talking about. So,
but we did see like a hole open there. When you watch Barry from last week, and I think it's in the clip from last week at the beginning of this episode, where he runs into the past, there's a little blue and white, you know, circle that whoop, opens up and he runs out of a hole in space onto the street. Yeah. So
yeah. So I can see the process of moving, you know, in a certain space, you know, in a given space back and forth, causing that to happen as well, which would be much different than just doing it on a treadmill. But I still don't think that's what it was. I still think it had something to do with kind of what Wells was talking about with his emotional status. Now, you mentioned that he was on a big high from kissing Iris, but also he was trying to desperately save Joe from dying, and he was trying to stop this tidal wave that was any second going to hit the entire city.
True.
And, you know, all of this stuff happened. So when does he go back? Because, you know, Wells said you could have gone back centuries, you could have gone back, you know, at different time period. Then what? But because all of this stuff was on his mind, he went back to a time when he could stop it all, when he could stop all the stuff that he was thinking about, or in the case of Iris, cause what he was thinking about. So I think that had a lot to do with when he traveled back and how he traveled back.
And
so
you
were
there, Dr. Wells, and you were there, Cisco, and you too, Caitlin.
But it was in color.
It's kind of like clicking your heels together, and you know, it was within you all the time.
Oh, wow. That is kind of true, though. Okay, but now, eventually we know he goes back in time to the day that his mother dies, the time that his mother dies. So my guess is that something is going to be happening that will cause him to do the same thing and go to a time when he's really thinking and he's really emotional about that day.
I've got it.
Okay, what do you think? Because I have a
I've been speculating on this for weeks, but I think I'm kind of on to this here. So because of information that we got in this episode about him starting to put together the facts that Wells may be not
connected.
Telling the truth
about
stuff, right? That the suspicions of Barry's suspicions of Wells are growing, on purpose because they're all true. but they're it's going to come down to at some point at the end of this season, he's going to find out about Wells, okay? And there's going to be some big reveal, but there's going to be some chase with Reverse Flash and Flash, and Reverse Flash probably taunting him in some way, like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to kill your mom right now. And so that's going to set Barry off. And at the beginning of next season, or maybe at the end of this season, Barry will travel back in time. And I think, but he can't control it, right? And in the same way that Wells went back, we don't know how long Wells was in our time before Barry's mom was murdered. We just know that he's been stuck there, stuck in the time since then. So I think Barry might end up, you know, a few days early and get to wander around, and there'll be some episodes where he gets to meet his dad and his mom as an, you know, as he is an adult or something like that.
Interesting.
And then that sequence will happen where his mom gets killed or doesn't get killed, and that will be their kind of winter hiatus. That the whole does he change time? Does he not change time?
Summer hiatus or next winter?
No. The end of this season will be that he either time travels back or finds out about Reverse Flash, and that all comes to a head. And then I predict within the first 9 or 10 episodes is when he'll travel back to his time with his mom, and that 9th or 10th episode, right at the end of 2015, right before Christmas, before they go away for like 6 weeks,
yeah,
or whatever. That's when he's either going to save his mom or not save his mom, but we won't know what's going on until we come back from their big hiatus. Or maybe he saves his mom and changes time, but we don't know how it plays out until we get back.
I think that is a pretty logical speculation about where the story could go. Now, I am going to go a little bit different route at the beginning of what you said about how he does that.
Good. Okay.
I have a feeling because, you know, there was so many huge emotional issues going on when he did travel back in time this time. I think there's going to be some huge things going on when he goes back to see his mom. And my fear is that it's going to involve his dad. And then it might involve Reverse Flash, you know, killing his dad or threatening to kill his dad or something like that. I think because of that, to stop some disaster or to try to get to his dad in time, that's going to cause him to go back in the past. And I disagree with you a little bit. I think he's going to go back. I think he's going to appear at his house right when it happens. I don't think he's going to have any time to think. I think the only thing he's going to be able to think about is, well, I'm going back on my thought because I really like your theory. him saving his mom could set up an entire season's worth of storyline a la, Crisis on, what is it? Is it Crisis on Infinite Earths? No.
Flashpoint.
Flashpoint. Yeah, thank you. Sorry.
His name is in the title, Josh.
I have all these different ideas now after your awesome speculation, but I that could really set that up. But I don't think he's going to have much chance to think of anything other than saving his past self.
Got it. Oh, that's I think your idea with his dad being threatened, that's a great impetus for driving him to go faster and accidentally and, travel back.
And to appear at that particular time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, this isn't going to be a time-traveling show. You know, it's Flash. And even in the comics, he travels back in time quite a few times. But, you know, Flash has been around for how many years now? 75 years? What's the anniversary or something? But I think that they won't use it very often because he won't be able to control it. He can do it, but he can't control it. So that, I don't know, that's where I think they're going. I guess we will find out.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
many
we're
talk
closing
about,
in on the end of the season here. I mean, there's only maybe 6 or 7 more episodes, so.
Ah, that's right. But there'll be lots of mystery, lots of things for us to think about all summer long, so.
Oh, God, I honestly, I mean, out of all the shows that you and I talk about, and the shows that I watch, I am so worried that they are going to just set up such a confounding end of season one here that I am just going to be like screaming all summer.
Oh yeah,
I'm
looking
see
forward
me,
to it.
And you'll just be like, "Are you still screaming?" And I'll just be, "Ah!" I can't hear you.
We'll end our last show for the season with you screaming, and then you'll pick it up right at season
pick
two.
Pick it up
there.
At the beginning of season two.
Yeah. I'll have some water prepared for you.
That will be great.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit. Actually, let's talk a lot about Snart and his ever growing gang. We will give a name to eventually here.
Yeah.
All right. So you know, I love this villain. Captain Cold was my favorite villain in the comics, and he is my favorite villain in this Flash. I think, I don't know, that might change next week, but but this week he is, man, I love it. I love Captain Cold. He's very smart. I like that he doesn't have powers.
I'm sorry, he's very snart?
Snart is smart. He's a smart snart. and it's a brilliant design of this character and mm-hmm. how they're using him against Barry. And he's vicious. Oh my gosh, he's vicious. I did not like Dante from the very start, but
Dante
I still felt sorry
was an
for him.
Ass. I mean, they wrote him to be a complete jerk, and I'm just kind of frustrated at the writers for not giving Dante at least. I mean, he's a little more credible at the end of his time on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he wasn't killed. They didn't kill him, right?
No, they didn't kill him.
They just. No. I'm hoping that his hands got saved. I thought they killed him at first, because you know that was the other parallel, like the villain kills. But no, but then I realized no, it was Reverse Flash that killed somebody, not
mm-hmm.
Not the villain of the week, right? Because Weather Wizard didn't kill somebody, so Snart wouldn't. But yeah, Dante. When you're an adult and you're still a jerk to your kid, to your brother. You know, get over it.
Well, he did. You know, he confessed and sort of yep. washed away.
Too little,
away
too
his
late.
Sins.
I know, but you know, and it was the impetus for him breaking out that you know kind of gave. Dante forced Snart's hand on the whole thing. Now maybe Snart was going to that place eventually. And Dante just kind of helped it along, but you know, I don't know if that was his end game. Was once he made the weapons, is like, oh, I'm going to have you tell me who the Flash is. You know, maybe it was.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
I see. That's the thing with Snart. He always has more than one plan. He has backups that if hey, this doesn't work, I've got something going here. You know, I mean, even in the very end when
right.
he said when he revealed that he knew Barry. He had a plan, so Barry couldn't just wish him off, you know, somewhere before he could tell anybody. He's like, oh no, I got this all prepared. So that's why Snart's such a brilliant character. You know, Heatwave not so brilliant, dangerous. Matter of fact, he didn't really have much to do in this episode. To be honest, he was kind of
Heatwave hungry. Feed me, Lisa.
It's kind of how it was, but they can give him more later. There wasn't room for him to do much more in this episode.
I understand. I liked what I saw. I thought that I did like that scene with Mick where he's just beating the tar out of Cisco and Lisa and Snart comes in. He's like, "Whoa, Mick, you got to calm down." It's like You know, and it Mix just, like, his roid rage has just snapped him.
He is a mean, scary dude. He was beating up those guys. I was trying to find the, what were their names? Santinis? Oh, yeah, the Santinis.
Yeah.
When they first escaped from the Santinis, you know, after they took him in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wanted to beat that guy senseless, too. He just kept doing it. But
yeah.
Anyway, he'll come back. I want to see another episode that kind of focuses on Heatwave, too, because he's just another good villain. So, all right. Now, in the end, so Snart reveals that he knows about Barry, and he kind of knows the secrets. That was common on some other shows we're going to talk about this week, too. But
yeah, a lot of reveals of secret identities this week.
There's all kinds of stuff that he could do with this new information. I mean, he could really, really hurt Flash's ability to work in Central City by revealing he knows who he is. Plus, he knows, you know, he can threaten people that Barry knows, just like he did with Cisco, to get the information in the first place. But does it strike you as something that he's going to do? Is that something he's going to take advantage of?
I don't think so. And
I don't either.
It's because, like you said, Snart is so smart. He talks about it being a game and that he plays it better than anyone else. And it's not about the stealing. It's not about the kidnapping. It's about the competition. And it's kind of juvenile. But this conversation that Captain Cold and the Flash have, it really comes down to, all right, listen, you know, I could put you away at any time, but they've got to come up with something. Why not? Well, because I can reveal your secret identity. It's like, fine, we're going to call a truce, but, you know, we need to basically keep it honorable between ourselves. And that's kind of how Captain Cold is in the comic books as well, which I think is really it's a unique take on a villain rather than, oh, I've caught you again. I've taken your weapons. I put you in jail. 2 weeks later, oh, we want to have this character on again. All right, he's escaped from jail. He finds new weapons, and then they do it again. It changes that trope of the supervillain that returns time after time after time, you know, just
yes.
to be put away every time. Now, not that Barry won't stop him.
Right, exactly. Oh, and I don't think Snart expects him to not try to stop him.
Right. It's just, can Snart come up with a plan that can outsmart the Flash, and then he can get bragging rights, basically, and say, ah, suck it. I got
Yeah, well, got not this. Only will he come up with a plan that outsmarts the Flash, and the Flash will catch him, he will also have a plan, before all that starts, on how to break out of jail when he does get caught. Which
and,
is what he did last time.
Right. And he knows that Barry won't put him in the pipeline, and he won't reveal Barry's secret, and also and he won't kill anybody because he's agreed to that too. It's an interesting thing, and I'm wondering at some point, you know, are they going to take it far enough, if we go enough seasons and they decide they want to do more with him, that he actually does kill somebody, you know, on accident. Maybe he makes a mistake, and I'd be interested to see what Barry does at that point.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's a good thought. That hadn't even occurred to me, but yeah, because Flash won't kill people, he's a good guy. Snart knows he's a hero. So he will continue. It's kind of like you know, I was going to use the comparison of Batman and the Joker. And there's a lot of similarities, but the Joker has become such an iconically evil psycho. You know, I wouldn't compare Captain Cold to that.
He's kind of a Lex Luthor, if I were to base him on any other sort of villain.
Except Lex Luthor does it out of hate, you know? And
right.
I don't see Snart doing it out of hate. He does it more out of just the thrill of the competition, like you said, or the thrill of the chase, and the just having a... So my other...
I meant
more,
just more
maybe,
from a thinking man's, you know, from like a
oh, yeah,
grandmaster
yeah.
sort of smart guy position.
I agree, yeah. But to me, it's almost... And this is maybe not a... respectful comparison, but I think it is. It's more like a Megamind. You know, did you see Megamind?
Oh, I love Megamind. Yeah,
it's a great movie. Great movie. Will Ferrell plays Megamind. I can't even remember the superhero in that, played by Brad Pitt. But it's kind of like that, you know. So anyway, I like this this duo. I don't know. Flash has never really had an arch nemesis, so I wouldn't call it an arch nemesis. But he's a really good leading nemesis.
Well, that he they can is use the leader of the rogues
because of this. Right? Yes. So. And in the comic books, now I don't think in the comics Captain Cold knows Barry necessarily, at least in most incarnations of it. But the rogues do have this agreement with the Flash that they are really just crooks, you know, thieves. They steal things. They don't kill people. They don't threaten to destroy the entire city. You know, it's not that kind of thing. And there's even in at least one story of the New 52 where the rogues help the Flash because it's good for them.
Right.
You know, they're going against in the comics anyway, they're going against Grodd. And when he has his gorillas attack the city, that's in a fairly recent New 52 storyline. But
yeah, because the apes are trying to take over Central City, and it's like, well, like Captain Cold says, I mean, this is my city. I'm not going to leave. You leave.
Yeah, he likes it here.
Right. I mean, yeah.
Great lines this week.
I thought that Wentworth Miller like just continues to nail this character as they go on. I mean, I think he's really getting comfortable with the character on, his third appearance now, I guess?
Yeah.
So, and I can only imagine three times they've had Captain Cold on in the first season. Oh my gosh.
You know, he's making it his own. And you know, I can think of a few times in comic book history that where the story's been told on TV or in movies where the actor has kind of made that character their own. You know, I'm thinking of Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor for a long time was Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. Mark Hamill's Trickster from the 90s, I think that was like the Trickster to me. You can kind of go back and see a few real standout roles of that characters, and I think he's doing that with Captain Cold.
Yeah, I agree.
Real quick, let's talk about his rogues, who now we can, I think, officially call rogues. I don't think we can call it a gallery yet.
not quite
a gallery.
He only really knows one other guy at the moment, I think.
Oh, well, I'm going to say two, because now you have Lisa,
with Lisa
in there with
right,
him.
Right, I'm sorry, yes.
Right. Now Lisa didn't
get
her name.
I did say Guy.
Yeah, good point. Yep, I agree. Now, Lisa didn't get her name this week, but she did get her, we'll say, power, right?
Yep, they're going a little bit different than she is in the comics, which is fine, because the character she's based on in the comics is kind of wacky.
Now the older one, the traditional one, or the current one?
The traditional one, the roller skating.
Oh, ice skating.
Or ice skating. Whatever.
Yeah,
skating golden glider.
Villainous. Yeah, I know. That's kind of silly. But and then now she's sort of this ethereal spirit, ghost-like,
right.
Golden thingy.
Yeah,
because
she's lost her body, I think, or something like
yeah.
that. Or she,
yeah, there's a storyline in the comics.
I guess. I don't remember.
Well, there's a storyline where I can't remember who it was now. One of the rogues, in an effort to give them more power, tried to incorporate their weapons into their bodies so now they can do that. You know, so Captain Cold doesn't need a gun anymore. He can just control Cold
right.
like that. And something happened to her, and she became
Golden
Glider.
Oh, was
in
it that one? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but anyway, so she got this gun. I want to talk about her gun. She wanted.
Okay.
I like how they did that. She wanted something golden. Something shiny.
Something
right?
shiny and toxic.
I like her.
Yeah. She's a fireball. No way, we already got that.
They did not explain. They did not explain what this gun was about, so it shoots something golden. I'm assuming it's not real gold.
People online were like, why the heck are they robbing stuff if they have a gun that can turn things into gold? And people were saying, I don't think it really turns things into gold. It's just a gold-like substance that... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, did she kill that guy that she froze with this? I mean,
I'm going to say yes.
Probably. I mean,
regardless of what it was covered with, he was suffocating, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But so I don't think it was really gold, but it just looked gold. I saw a lot of people kind of arguing about that online, about the gold thing. But to me, as I was watching it, that it didn't even occur to me that that would be real gold.
I just kind of was going with it.
If Cisco could make a gun that could create gold, I don't think he would be working at Star Labs, and
right.
He would be
alchemy
a nice,
is not
rich
one of
guy
his one of his merit badges, I guess.
No, so I just want to say, whatever the gun is, and hopefully they'll kind of explain a little bit about what it is. But I do not believe it's. I don't know. What do you guys think? Does anybody disagree? Do you guys have an idea what it is, or do you think it was real gold and she's just showing off because they like it? But.
Yeah, let us
interesting
know.
Interesting dynamic. I love the introduction to Flash Lisa, Lisa Flash.
What I really liked about that, because I had seen that in the commercials, but the thing that just is so humorous to me, first off, it's just he's really flippant about the way that he says it. But he's also got his parka up, and he nods his head, and the parka just kind of tip. that's what I'm noticing now, is that the movement of his parka as he moves his head just from side to side, it's humorous.
I love that he still wears his parka because it's – I mean, that's the Captain Cold costume, you know, but
yeah.
but he doesn't really need it. I mean
– Well, maybe there's residual cold coming from the gun or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he does it just more as a symbol.
Because it's cool.
It is cool. Well, it's cold.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm digging the Captain Cold. I like this group. I like that they were able to get away. Great – banter, I'll call it banter, in between them, in between, you know, Flash and Snart. I was going to say all of them, but it really was just Flash and Snart were the only ones that talked. So that was great. Okay. All right. Well, Mark Martin, real quick, I know he didn't have much to do in this episode. He was just kind of like, like the whole last episode starred him, and then this one he's like, hey, I'm just an extra now. But I thought there was an interesting line that he had right at the beginning when Barry locked him up. He said, you know, I'm going to set a tidal wave on the whole – destroy the whole city.
Yeah.
So are we going to see this tidal wave sometime in the future?
No.
It seemed like – I mean, they didn't have to say that. Why were they setting that up?
I think they were just saying that they were setting it up as if he had been left to his own devices, oh, you know what a great idea would be? To cause a tidal wave to come to the city. Well, he didn't get to do that, right, because Barry changed the time. So they're just showing that this is just the idea that he had, but he's not going to get to use it. I suppose if he gets out at some point, he might do that again. But I think it was just more to illustrate
the fact that he didn't do it anymore.
Yeah, the fact that he didn't have a chance to cause the tidal wave and the time had changed and stuff like that.
All right, I'll go with that. But seems like that's a good tool he could use if he did get out. So all right. So we're not going to talk about him anymore because that was last week. He's just an extra on our show too. But we got to wrap up by talking about Wells.
Wells. Oh, and look at that. We're out of time. No, I'm just kidding.
That's okay. We can go back.
Oh, good. Hey, why don't we talk about Wells?
All right. Let's do that. All right. Well, man, he doesn't want Barry to mess with the time continuum. What's he doing?
Well, Josh, obviously he's a trained professional who has come back and, you know, he didn't mean to kill Barry's mom because obviously he was trying to kill Barry. So he's just trying to make it right and fix it the best way he knows how by killing Simon Stagg and a newspaper reporter and God knows who else.
It doesn't even seem like he's really that concerned about what he does. And it doesn't seem like his actions have been changing the future that he's trying to keep intact.
I disagree.
I disagree
with that. So
tell me more.
How do we know about the future? Well, we know about the future because in the first episode of the series, he asked his computer. Or actually, he didn't ask his computer because he didn't talk to Gideon. He actually just used the touchpad. And he looked at a newspaper from, like, what is it? I think it's 10 years in the future, I believe.
That's something like that.
And it said that Flash missing, vanishes in crisis. That's the newspaper he's seen. Then there's an episode we saw later where, I can't remember what Barry does, but Wells had looked at the newspaper, saw that Flash vanishes, and then Barry did something, and he was losing his powers or something was in jeopardy, and Wells looks at the newspaper again, and it says, "Return to sender. U.S. Post Office shuts down permanently." Which he's like, "Oh no, at that point we didn't know much about Wells." You're like, "Oh no, the timeline got changed, and something's going to happen to Barry." And so when Wells forces whatever to get fixed there, it goes back to being the Flash missing headline. My idea now is that return to sender, U.S. Post Office shuts down permanently. That is the headline on the newspaper originally before Barry's mom got killed. And because he has come back in time, because Wells has come back in time and killed Barry's mom, and everything that he's doing, because he's so concerned about Gideon, show me the future. And then she shows him the Flash missing headline. And he's like, okay, well, nothing's changed. So that's good. Nothing's changed from what he has made it now, because he does not want it to revert to what it was. He wants to keep it in this new timeline. So he's fighting everything he can to keep that river from resuming its course, going back to that post office headline.
So you think him killing Stagg, him killing Mason Bridge, that doesn't affect his future that he wants to go?
I think he is moving a much larger river. He's moving like an Amazon as opposed to, you know, like a...
Because it's a bigger period of time.
Right, because it's a bigger... Right, because he's talking centuries.
Centuries,
epochs,
right.
Right? So, well, all these little things that he does...
Newspaper.
You know, when he kills Sisko, you've been dead to me for centuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff, whether he kills Sisko now or he kills Sisko in 2 years, like, that...
Oh.
You know, that really doesn't matter, does it?
Wait,
on the
and
bigger
I have
scale.
Another thought. I have another
okay.
thought.
Okay.
You say this is a bigger river, okay, so... And that's kind of a good analogy in this, in my thinking here. So little tiny trails off of this river are not going to diverge that river much because, like he said, time will find a way. It will take care of it, what it wants to take care of. It just might go about it in a different way. So, yeah, centuries in the future won't change if you just do one little thing. I don't know if I agree with that because of the future changes. You know, who knows what Mason Bridges' kids might have done, you know,
right.
But, or maybe he already has kids and they're still there. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
but you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I like that idea that fits pretty well with him being able to mess with time a little bit more than Barry.
Right. Because he's traveled a longer period and he's also, I mean, and Wells is in it for the long haul. I mean, you know, he is committed and he doesn't have a choice. Yeah. Well, he has no choice. True. But, I mean, whatever, you know, can't let anyone reveal my secret. It's like, all right, well, if I have to kill somebody, I will. I got to protect Flash. If I got to kill somebody, I will. It's, you know, it's, I mean, he's serious about, he's really serious about this for whatever reason we don't know.
So, I don't know, there's lots of ways you can explain this, but what is it, why doesn't, you know, his computer wife Gideon, why doesn't how does the computer know that the future is supposed to be a certain way? Yeah, what is this? I mean, because they...
Quantum tachyonic particle acceleration gigahertz.
Fueled by glycerin.
Fueled by glycerin with a number of megaflops. I mean, it's... Everybody knows this.
Okay, sorry. I should have known that. I was absent that day in time studies. Okay, well that is you know, again, with the time stuff, it's great fun to talk about, and there's really no answers, and you can do just about anything in a storyline of time, but it's great fun to talk about. So
how does Wells know that Mason Bridge knows about him? Because in the previous time he was going to publish the paper, right? Wells didn't know about this. It was Sisko that discovered his... I guess that's something else, that somebody discovered Reverse Flash's secret, Sisko versus Mason Bridge. And I would assume that Mason would have been dealt with eventually, but in this one, like, was there? Did I miss an explanation as to how he knew that Mason Bridge? The only thing, the only interactions we had was Barry saying, "Oh, by the way, I know you think Harrison Wells is involved in something, and he's not." And, you know, which would make you seem really crazy because I just met you, and then you say this thing to me out of the blue. What the heck?
I think he was just advertising, you know, like social media, just getting the word out. Hey, check my article out on Sunday. I kind of do. I kind of think that's what he was doing. He was just bragging about something he knew, and he wanted people to anticipate that. But if he did it with Barry, you got to imagine that he had done it with other people too, except that doesn't matter. The information's gone now anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking, I was just wondering if Barry might be bugged. You know, is Wells, does Wells have a way either futuristically or, you know, technologically speaking, like that he bugs Barry, like he knows exactly, because, you know, they can hear everything that Barry says when he's in the suit because of his radio stuff. But
yeah,
is Wells paying attention to what Barry's doing when he's not wearing the suit in some fashion?
That's a good question. Yeah, that is possible. You know, that also kind of makes me think of another question I had. Does Wells have any knowledge of what transpired in the original present other than what Barry had told him? Because, you know, like he's talking to Sisko at the end there, or toward the end, trying to get Sisko to stay. And he says some of the same stuff that he said to him in the previous timeline.
Right, but it was brought on by a different thing. So, again,
yeah, sure, absolutely. But it was almost identical to what he said. Does he have any knowledge of that?
I don't think so. And this kind of goes back to my take on Martin saying he was going to cause a tidal wave.
Okay.
Those ideas and thoughts are already in Wells' head, right? I mean, he probably does believe that Sisko. I mean, I don't doubt that those are things that Wells believes. He thinks of Sisko like a son. I mean, he's been working with the guy for a while. I mean, you know, he makes connections, but he's also cold enough that he can sever those connections without a lot of emotional, emotional energy. So I think it's the same kind of thing. He had those words that he wanted to say, and in the original timeline, well, I caught you, Sisko. Oh, by the way, I was just thinking about this, how much you're like a son, but, oh, well, I'm sorry, I got to kill you. Meanwhile, that never happened, so that impetus didn't happen, but something else happened where he had an interaction with Sisko, and it's like, oh, by the way, I had these thoughts in my head, and here are the same thoughts, very similar thoughts, about how you're very much like a son, but now it's got an entirely different emotional resonance to them because it's coming from a place of love now rather than a place of danger or hate.
Sure.
So all right, well, I think that's what it is.
I'll put this out there to you then.
Okay.
What about maybe he knew because he knew it was going to happen and he knew when it was going to happen from the future?
That is totally possible too. And how does Gideon know what really is the future? Like, I don't know. Maybe he's built something that is a bridge. Because remember, he's got this tachyonic particle thing that he's trying to use, which is presumably what he's going to use to try to go back to the future, because tachyons are things that travel faster than light and are always linked to time travel and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure it'll be revealed shortly.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of it will anyway. So, yeah. All right. Great stuff. And again, as with all the time-related topics, has no real ending for the discussion, so we'll cut it off there and continue maybe not next time, because we have some interesting things for next time. So there were just a few little references. We've already kind of touched on some of them, but let's go ahead and talk about those just real quick to wrap the show up here. We talked about Lisa Snart being Golden Glider. Golden Glider is her name that will be given to her by Sisko eventually.
Yeah, hopefully.
Unless Caitlin gets to name this one again.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
She good. Named Rainbow Rider. Rainbow Rider?
Rainbow
Raider, right.
Yeah.
he didn't like that one, though. No. I don't know if he'll like Golden Glider either. All right, so, you know, I also mentioned
I'm just going to say, I think you're right. Caitlin probably will name it, because I think maybe the sillier villain names Caitlin will come up with. That would be kind of an interesting...
That would fit.
way for them to do it on the show. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I like that idea. All right, so I did kind of mention that, you know, the Rogues having this agreement with Barry, but also in the comics, you know, Captain Cold is he's not a killer. He's not crazy like the Joker. He really is just more of a thief. And it seems like that is what he is in this one too. He's tricky. He'll freeze your brother's fingers without a second thought, but he really is not evil, I would say.
Right. I agree.
Love the – now, this didn't strike me last week, but I really did love the brain freeze scene that set up really well an episode about Captain Cold. Not last week. We didn't realize when he did the exact same thing. But this week it did. So,
yep.
I like that. Also, you know, speaking of the comics, there's a lot of big stories, a lot of big important things happening in the story of Flashpoint in the comics that I think they're getting some of this from, and we will see more of that. So I just want to kind of put this bug in your ear, try to not the kind of bug that Wells might be using with Barry, but, you know, just the metaphor. If he does save his mother, how many people could die? Well, says this, how many more people could die if your mother lives? Very similar to what happened in Flashpoint when he does save his mother and it ended up, you know, destroying the world and stuff.
Yeah.
So turns out a lot more people could die.
It's a really ethical conundrum for Barry there. So
it is.
That will
it
be
is.
Interesting to see how the show handles it.
That's another reason why I think Barry's really just going to appear right at the last minute there and end up making a decision not to save his mother. But we'll see. We'll see. And finally, Barry does, he calls them the Rogues Gallery. So I think that really is the beginning of what we will see as the Rogues Gallery. And I'm interested to see who else they add to that list because the list is much longer than just the three that we've seen so far.
And Snart seemed to enjoy it as well.
Yes, he did.
So
he did like that. He liked his Captain Cold name too.
Yeah.
So. All right, man. Well, I guess it's time to run.
Yeah, I had
not
a good
not
time.
Too this... fast because I don't want to go back to the beginning of this episode again.
No. I don't think we're emotionally invested in anything right now. But yeah, I think you're right. We do need to run. So
I am emotionally invested in what we're about to see next week, which is Mark Hamill as the Trickster.
Oh, spoiler! No, I'm loving that. I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah. So if we could run fast enough to run a week in the future, so I could see that, I could handle that. But
okay.
No, for now we'll wrap it up here.
All right. Well, if you guys enjoyed this episode, please be sure to visit us on iTunes and leave some feedback for us there. It's a great tool to tell everybody else how much you enjoy listening to the show. You can also contact us by email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com or talk to us on Twitter at Scarlet Velocity or follow us there or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
Hey, yeah, and you can also check out some of our other shows, Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. You can find those both at randomchatter.com, just like Scarlet Velocity. But all of our shows are available in the iTunes Store and also through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure you spread the word. Tell all your friends. Come out and see us at Celebration and tell everybody at Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim later on in April. That's how we get to know more people, and that's how we talk to more people about The Flash. And we really enjoy doing it. So help us out. Spread the word. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.